Well, before we get started, I just want to apologize. I'm losing my voice. Now, before some of you get excited, that doesn't mean I'm going to preach any shorter, okay? It just means that Brother Carlton's going to have to maybe adjust my mic a little bit. If my voice starts getting too low, maybe put me up a little bit. Tonight, I'll probably end up preaching a little shorter, you know, by the time I'm done preaching this morning. Proverbs 13, if you look at verse number 12, I want to bring your attention to verse number 12 of Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs 13. In verse 12, the Bible says this, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." I want to preach to you this morning, speak to you, or teach you about this subject of hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That word hope, the definition of the word is an expectation or a desire for something. It's not necessarily in the same way that we use the word hope, like we say, oh, I hope so, I hope this happens. That word hope in the Bible is often used of the coming of Christ. It's called that blessed hope. And it's the idea that we are expecting something, we are desiring something, there is something that we want, there is something that we expect to have. And it's not a sinful thing or a bad thing, but the Bible says here that hope deferred. Now notice that word deferred. The word defer means to put off to a later time, to postpone. And the Bible teaches this idea. He says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, to understand these words, heart and sick, I want to explain to you just kind of a way of Bible study. Our King James Bible was translated from the original Hebrew language for the Old Testament, a little bit of Aramaic, and Greek in the New Testament. And sometimes our Bible will take a Hebrew word and it'll translate it into different English words throughout Scripture. So it'll be the same word, but it'll be translated into different English words. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That doesn't affect the inspiration or preservation of Scripture at all. But sometimes what we can do is we can look at that Hebrew word as it's translated into different words throughout the Bible, and it gives us a better idea of what the translators meant, you know, understood that word to mean. It's kind of like looking at the synonyms of that word, just seeing how it was translated different. And in this verse here, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That word heart throughout the Bible is also translated as the word render or mind, think or be think. So I want you to understand, when the Bible says heart there, it's not referring to the muscle in your chest. It's not referring to this body part that pumps blood throughout your body. But that word heart is also translated to render. It's translated mind. It's translated think or be think. It's translated the word myself in this phrase, consulted with myself. It's also translated the word considered or consent or understanding or heed. And that word heart, as you can tell by the different ways it's translated throughout Scripture, it has to do with the way we think or who you are, your mind, not the body part of your brain or your heart, but who it is inside of you, the way you feel, the way you render, you think, you consulted with yourself. That word sick, notice it says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. The word sick is not just talking about a sickness, although it definitely is used in that context. But that word sick is also translated this: sorry, weak, wounded, disease, infirmity, sore, grieve, travail, grieved, grievous, or pain. And the idea that we're being told here through the Word of God, when the Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart sick, the idea is this: when you believe that, when you have a hope, now we all ought to be, you know, satisfied with having the blessed hope of the coming of Christ. If you're being saved and whatever happens in this world, it's okay, because one day we're going to go to heaven with Jesus Christ, and one day this world is, I'm just a passing through, is what the song says. It's just temporary. But the idea that Proverbs is trying to teach us is this: when you have a hope, when you have an expectation, when you have a desire, when you have something you want, you are looking for, you are looking to get, and when you believe that you cannot obtain that, when it is deferred, when there is something you want and you believe it's out of your grasp, you have to defer it. You know, it's postponed. It's going to be put off to a later time. That's going to make you or your heart sick. Another you know, words that we would use today in our modern verbiage would be like discouraged or upset or depressed. The idea is this: when you want something, and we're not talking about a bad thing, we're not talking about a lustful desire, we're not talking about something that God doesn't want you to have, but when you have an expectation, a hope, something you desire to have, and you don't have that, or you feel like it's deferred, you feel like it's out of your reach, you feel like you cannot get it, you feel like it's postponed, or it's going to be laid off to another time, it's going to cause your heart to be discouraged, or upset, or grieved, or in pain, or weak, or wounded, or sorry, depressed. And today there are many people who deal with this idea and struggle with this concept of depression or sadness. And by the way, this is exactly why many people today are heartsick. This is why so many people are discouraged. And, you know, today people are discouraged over many different things, but it's all this: a hope or a desire or an expectation that they hope to have gotten or they hope to have had and they don't have. Some people today are discouraged about their financial situation. Maybe they just they need to save money, or they need to get out of debt, or they need to just deal with their financial finances better. But because of their financial hardship, because they thought that they would have turned the corner by now, they thought that they would be at a different situation by now financially. They didn't think they'd still be struggling, 5 years later or 10 years later or whatever it might be. You know, there's a hope there that they hope they would have got. There's an expectation that they were trying to get, but because it was deferred, it's caused them to be discouraged. It's caused their hope to be deferred and made their heart sick. Some people today are discouraged or depressed about their careers. Many people in our church are looking for a job. Many people in our community are looking for a job. Some of you say, yeah, I have a job, but I need a better job. I need to make more money. Some of you may be discouraged. You realize that you may need a better education, or you need to learn a skill and kind of get into a different career. And right now, you just feel like that's kind of out of your grasp. It's out of your reach. It's not something you can get. And that hope being deferred at this time, you just kind of don't see that happening anytime soon. It can cause your heart to be sick. Some people today are discouraged, depressed, upset about the way their relationships are going. Maybe you're having marriage problems, or maybe you're having children problems and raising your children. You don't have enough family time, or you're just under too much stress. There's just too much going on, and it's causing you to say, I did not think marriage was going to be this way. I didn't think raising children was going to be this way. I didn't think life was going to happen this way. I expected something different. I hoped for something different. But because that hope seems to be out of my reach, because it's been deferred, it's causing my heart to be sick. It's causing me to be depressed, discouraged. Some people today are discouraged about their health situation. Maybe you need to lose weight. Maybe you're sickly. Maybe you realize you need to eat healthier. You realize you need to exercise, and that causes you to be sad or upset. Many people today are discouraged because of oppressing addictions. People today are struggling with illegal drugs, and even probably more than illegal drugs, this idea of people taking advantage of prescription drugs and becoming addicted to prescription drugs. There are people that struggle with alcohol, and they have that addiction, and they have that problem, or they have an addiction to pornography, or whatever it may be. There's an addiction you're struggling with. There's something you're struggling with. You think you should have kicked that habit. You think, I shouldn't have to be dealing with that. So many years later, why am I still struggling with this thing? And there was a hope. You hope that life would have turned out a certain way. Your finances, your marriage, your health, whatever it is. All of us, it may be different things, but we all have things that we expected, that we wanted, that we hope we would have achieved, and because they are out of our reach, because they've been deferred, they often make our heart sick. And today people struggle with things like depression, discouragement, discontent. You're upset. You're not happy. Now in Proverbs 13, if you look at verse 12, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Thank God that that's not the end of the verse, because the verse continues with an answer to the sickness of the heart. The Bible says, but when the desire cometh, It is a tree of life. Now, let's just do a little bit of Bible study and defining the words. That word desire means a wanting for something. It's the same idea that we just talked about, the hope, in the earlier reference of the passage. That desire is that hope, that wanting, that I want my finances to get better. I want my marriage to get better. I want my relationship with my children to get better. I want my health to get better. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, I just didn't think I'd still be struggling with this. I thought I would have turned, the corner by now. I didn't think I'd be that hope, that desire. It's that same idea. He says, now here's the desire. Here, your heart gets sick when hope is deferred. But when that desire, notice this word, cometh. You see that word cometh? The word cometh is just an older way of saying the word come. The word, it means this, to approach, to move toward, to move into view. Here's what I want you to understand. Many of us fall into this idea of depression or discouragement or being sad or upset because there is a hope, there is an expectation, there is something we thought we would have already attained, there's something we thought we would have had. By the time I'm this old, I'm going to be making this much money. By the time I'm in this stage of life, I'll be doing this. I won't be struggling with that anymore. I won't have those issues. And because that's out of our reach, because it's kind of been postponed, because it doesn't seem like we can get to it, it's made our heart sick, it's made us depressed, it's made us discouraged. But the Bible says that the answer to that sickness of the heart, it says, when desire cometh. So when that hope, which is not a bad thing, we're not talking about a lustful, sinful desire here. We're talking about things that God wants you to have. Things God wants you to have a good marriage. God wants you to have a career and a financial. And we understand there are stories like Job where God will take us through different things. But God wants the best for His children. And there are things that He wants you to have. And the Bible says this, when desire cometh. When desire is moving towards you, or better said, you're moving towards it. When that desire comes into view, when it looks like you are approaching it, when it looks like you're getting closer to it, the Bible says, when desire cometh, notice, it is a tree of life. Now that phrase, tree of life, is found 10 times in our Bible. And I'm not going to take you through all 10 times of them, but let me give you one example. Keep your finger there in Proverbs 13. That's our text for this morning. But go with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation is the last book of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 22. There's 10 different references to the tree of life, but let me just give you one to kind of give you an idea. Why would there be a reference in this verse to the tree of life? Revelation 22, last book in the New Testament. Revelation 22. Look at verse number 2. Revelation 22, and look at verse number 2. Revelation 22, verse 2 says this, in the midst of the street of it, and in Revelation 22, by the way, we're getting a picture, we're getting a view into heaven, into paradise, into the glory of God. And the Bible says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was, notice, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree, what tree? The tree of life. And the leaves of the tree, notice, were for the healing of the nations. I want you to understand that this idea of a tree of life, the idea that's associated with it is the idea of healing. That the word life there is associated with being alive or having life. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, God had put the tree of life, and if they would have ate of the tree of life, they would have been healed of their sin problem, which is why God brought them out of there. And here in Revelation 22:2, we're told that if you eat of the tree of life, it's for the healing of the nations. Go back to Proverbs 13. So when the Bible says, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. What the idea there is this, you are sick in your heart, you are sore, you are wounded, you are upset, you are depressed. And by the way, we all go through seasons in our lives where we're discouraged, where there's an expectation, and because it's deferred, it doesn't seem like your health is going to get better, it doesn't seem like your marriage is going to get better, it doesn't seem like things are going to get better, and it kind of discourages us and upsets us. But the Bible says that when that hope comes into view, when you are approaching it, when you're coming closer to it, it becomes a tree of life that heals that sickness of the heart. You don't, and I'm not, I'm not a medical doctor. You guys are on prescription drugs. I'm not telling you to stop taking them, okay? But let me tell you something. You don't need drugs to help you feel better.
That's right.
You know, our society has this idea where, you feel down, they're going to give you this to make you up, and then you're a little too up, so we're going to give you a downer, and we're going to give you... Look, When the problem is the problem of a heart, I'm not talking about a medical, physical issue. When it's a problem of the heart, when it's a problem of your mind, when it's a part about the way you think, you are upset, you are discouraged, everything looks gray, everything looks dim, everything looks like it's not going to get better. The Bible says that the tree of life, the healing to that problem, is to cause that desire to come into view, to come closer, to approach it. When desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Here's the idea. When something you want, a hope, a desire, comes closer to you, it's the opposite of being deferred. It's within reach. It's within view. You will feel better. It's the tree of life. It's the opposite of being heart sick. So what's the answer? Get your hopes or desires to come closer. And every this year, at the end of the year, I like to preach a sermon. I like to teach on the subject of setting goals for the coming year. And I want you to understand what you say. Well, Pastor, why would you preach about setting goals and why would you teach about setting goals? Because if properly set goals, and when we get a vision for the things that God can do in our family, and we get a vision for what God can do in our lives, and we set those goals and we work at throughout the next year at accomplishing and reaching those goals, as you get closer to that hope, to that desire, as you come and begin to approach it, it'll help you with the struggle that you have in your heart. It'll help you with the discouragement and the depression and the wound and the sore that all of us from time to time carry with us. You need to understand this. The only way to change is by setting and attaining goals. Someone said this. I love this quote. I often will, if I hear good quotes, I'll write them down and I'll read them and I'll kind of play with the words and try to, remember them and get them in my mind. Someone said this: you will be what you are becoming. You will be what you are becoming. Do you understand that? You will be one day what you are becoming today. So if you don't like what you are, then change it. If you don't like what the future holds for you, then change it. You have the wonderful privilege right now to change the future right now. So if you can look out into the distance and you can see marriage is headed for divorce and you see children are headed for rebellion and you see bankruptcy is coming and you see these things are coming and it's causing you to get sad and it's causing you to get upset and it's causing you to get heartsick, then start doing today and start becoming today what you'd like to be in the future, because you will be what you are becoming. And if you don't like what you are, then change it. To accomplish things, someone said this, to accomplish things you have never accomplished, you must do things you have never done. To accomplish things you have never accomplished, you must do things you have never done. See, I get, it's interesting to me, people get this idea, I'm going to do this in 2015, Pastor, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to do all these things. And I'm like, well, what are you going to change? Well, nothing, I'm just hoping it's going to, I'm going to write it on a piece of paper, hopefully it happens. To accomplish things you've never done, you've never accomplished before, you're going to have to do things you've never done. Someone said this, you may not be able to start a new beginning. Look, you may not be able, we're starting a new year, and that kind of serves as a reset button, and praise the Lord for that. The Bible teaches that God allows us to start a new day fresh, and with God, we're able, Bible says that His mercies are new every day, great is thy faithfulness, and we're able to start this new year. But listen to me, you may not be able to start new with your marriage or with your children or with your career or with your business. You may not be able to go back the last 4 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years and start over. You may not be able to start new. Someone said this, but you can start a new end. You can change from today on. Go to Galatians chapter number 6, Galatians. If you start from the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You may not be able to start a new beginning, but you can start a new end. You have the wonderful privilege, and I have the wonderful privilege, to be able to change what's left ahead of us. And right now, we're ending 2014 in the next few days, and beginning 2015, and 2014 might have not been all you expected it to be. It may not have been the best year. You may be willing and ready and wanting to kind of put it behind you and start over. But you got to understand this. If you do not put into practice new habits, if you do not put into practice new things, if you do not start to become someone different, you're just going to end up being the same depressed, discouraged, individual, year after year after year after year after year. And here's what's good. Claiming God gives us a promise in Scripture, and you can claim that promise for your goals. Are you there in Galatians chapter 6? Look at verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Now listen, you ought to underline this in your Bible. You ought to memorize this verse. This is a promise that God has given all of us. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, notice, that shall he also reap. Do you see that? The Bible teaches in Galatians 6, 7, just one example of it. It's found all throughout Scripture. The Bible teaches this principle that if you sow, you will reap. If you sow, you will reap. You cannot sow without reaping. It is a promise from God. So, start sowing towards something you want to reap. You will be what you are becoming. I want to challenge you on this last Sunday of the year to set some goals for this coming year so you can begin sowing and working towards the life that you would like to have and the life that would be honoring to God. Now let me just give you some ideas. Go back to Proverbs 13, Proverbs chapter 13. Let me give you some thoughts about goal setting, because a lot of people say they have goals and really what they have is wishes. they wish things are going to get better, but they don't realize that goals, just setting a goal isn't going to make it happen. You have to set effective goals. Let me just give you some things. For those of you that like to take notes, this would be a good time to write some of these things down. Or if you're interested in setting goals for this coming year, if you're interested in having a better 2015 than you had in 2014, whatever it is, let me give you a few thoughts on setting effective goals. Number one, effective goals need to be specific. Effective goals need to be specific. It's not enough to say, I want to lose weight. You have to get specific with it. I want to lose 15 pounds. Do you understand that? That's different than I want to lose weight. Now, I'm not picking on those of you that need to lose weight or whatever. It's just an easy illustration. People get it. You know, it used to be, I'd preach sermons like this, and it used to be that I had to be really careful about what I said about weight loss because, you know, I was this skinny guy and I didn't want to be perceived as picking on people that maybe needed to lose weight. But you know what? This last year, I gained some weight. And some of you have been very verbal in letting me know that, Pastor, you gained weight this last year. So you know what? I'm not the skinny guy up here, you know, making you feel bad about weight loss. I'm one of you, okay? You know, it's something I got to deal with, all right? Now listen to me. I can just get sad about it and depressed about it. I can drown my sorrows in an Oreo milkshake. Or I can just, you know, decide I'm going to do something about it, all right? And there are things that we want to be different. There are you know, suits we'd like to be able to wear again, and there are things we'd like to do. And it's just saying, I want to lose weight, or just saying, I want my finances to get better, or just saying, I want my marriage to get better. That's not specific enough. You need to make it specific. Effective goals are specific. I want to lose 15 pounds. Some of you, we have 8 or 9 different business owners in our church. You know, you don't say, I want to make more money this 2015. How much do you want to make? So I'm not talking about being greedy and loving money and being covetous, but for the glory of God, why don't you have a goal? Why don't you say, hey, this year, I'd like to make this much money so that I can give 10% of it back to God, so that I can support missions, so I can support, you know, ministry, so I can support finances or whatever. You know, effective goals are specific goals. And not just enough to say, I want to lose weight. You have to say, you know, I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to, you know, whatever it is that you need to do, set specific goals. Number two, not only do you need to set specific goals, but effective goals are time sensitive. Effective goals are time sensitive. So not only are effective goals specific, effective goals are time sensitive. So it's not enough to say, I want to lose 15 pounds. You need to be able to say, hey, I want to lose 15 pounds in 6 months. You understand that? Effective goals are time sensitive. And, you know, by the way, something I'm doing this year a little differently than I've done in years past, and I would challenge you, consider setting 3-month goals. Instead of setting a goal for 2015, why don't you set a goal for March? You know, why don't you set a 3-month goal, January, February, March, and then once you've hit that goal, then set another goal for the next 3 months and kind of break it apart, because hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, and the closer you get to it, the more exciting it is. And right now, it's easy for you to say, I'm going to read the Bible 14 times in 2015. You know, but a year from now, that seems like so far away. Why don't you set a goal for the next month or 2 months or 3 months that is specific and time sensitive? So we said effective goals are not only specific, but effective goals are time sensitive. Number three, effective goals are measurable. Effective goals are measurable. Not only are they specific, not only are they time sensitive, but they are measurable. It's not enough to say, I want to lose 15 pounds in 6 months. You ought to say, I want to lose 15 pounds in 6 months, and I'm going to weigh myself every Monday, and I'm going to keep a chart on a calendar, and I'm going to document how I'm doing. You ought to be able to measure how you're doing in the goal. And again, we're using weight loss because it's easy. It's the number one, you know, goals that people set at the new year. But whatever it is, your finances, what you said, my marriage is falling apart. Why don't you set a goal of having a better marriage? Too generic. Make it specific. What would make a better marriage? Well, the reason my marriage is falling apart is because I work 80 hours a week. Okay, so why don't you set a goal for how much time you'll spend with your wife, or how much time you spend? You see what I'm saying? Make it specific. Make it time sensitive. I will do this in the next three months. I will take 2 weeks off, and I will devote the entire time to my family to try to save this thing called my marriage. Whatever it is, make it specific. Make it time sensitive, and make it measurable. You need to be able to measure your goal. You need to be able to know how you're doing. You need to be able to know whether you're on track. Number four, effective goals are not only specific, effective goals are not only time sensitive, effective goals are not only measurable, effective goals need to be written down. Effective goals need to be written down. You need to write down your goals. In 2006, the USA Today reported a study in which researchers studied a large group of people that set New Year's resolutions. They divided the people into two groups, those that wrote down their goals and those that did not. 12 months later, they found that of the people who did not write down their New Year's goals, resolutions, the people who did not write them down, only 4% accomplished their goals. But in the group that did write down their goals, 41% accomplished their goals. There's something powerful about sitting down and writing down your goals. And by the way, I would encourage you to write your goals out every day. You say, I don't have time to write them down. At least read them every day. Take them out and look at them. Put your eyes on those goals every day and say, this is my goal. This is what I'm tired of being, depressed and discouraged and upset. And I've got a hope. It's been deferred, but I'm going to get closer to it. That desire is going to come closer to me so I can have a tree of life, so that I can be happy, so that I can be satisfied, so that I'll quit being depressed. Set goals. Effective goals need to be written down. Write down your goals. And I would encourage you to consider writing your goals out every day, or at least reading your goals every day. If put them somewhere where you're going to see them every day. You look in the mirror every day. Post your goals up there. You're brushing your teeth in the morning, you can look up at them. If your goal is trying to lose weight, maybe you ought to put those goals on the refrigerator. I'm serious. You know, every time you approach that refrigerator, you look at those goals and you're like, oh, right, okay, I guess I'll have some water, you know, whatever. You know, just help you to be able to remember your goals. You ought to do this. Get a plan for your goals. How are you going to accomplish the goal? It's not enough to say, okay, you say, okay, Pastor, I want to lose 15 pounds in 6 months. I'm going to weigh myself every day. I'm going to track it. I'm going to measure it. Okay, how are you going to do it? It's not enough to just set the goal. How are you going to do it? Here's an exercise for you. Discipline yourself to write down 20 things you can do to achieve a goal. You have a goal, whatever your goal is. Maybe you have 10 goals, 15 goals. Discipline yourself to write down 20 things I can do to achieve this goal this year. What are 20 things? Now listen to me. The first 2 to 3 things are going to be pretty easy. The next 8 or 7 are going to be more difficult. The last one's going to be very, very hard. But you ought to discipline yourself to do it. Just sit down and say, how can I accomplish the goal? Now, I know some of you are like, oh, man, I need to do this. Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't need any goals this year. Okay, if that's your attitude, ask your wife, okay? she'll tell you what you need to work on. Because we all have things we need to work on, all right? Let me give you some areas that you could have goals in. Business or career. You got to have goals for your business. You got to have goals for your career. I'm not in business. I'm the pastor of a church. The Bible does refer to a church as a business in the book of Acts. But, you know, this is not a business. But you better believe that I have goals for Verity Baptist Church in 2015. We had goals for Verity Baptist Church in 2014. And there are things that we're going to work towards this year. You got to have goals for your job, for your career, for your business. You got to have goals for your finances. Some of you need to get out of debt. This is not a sermon on finances, but please listen to me. Debt is bad. Debt is dumb. Debt will destroy you. You need to, if you are in debt, I'm just telling you, write it down. Get out of debt in 2015. You need that goal. Maybe you need to save money. Maybe you just need to, some of you just need to have a goal. I'm going to go get a job. Okay? And it's not because you can't find one, you've been trying. Some of you, you know, you're not trying very hard. All right? You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any control over who's going to give me a job. Okay, look, you don't have any control over who's going to give you a job, but you do have control over how many applications you're going to fill out, how many phone calls you're going to make, how many emails you're going to send out. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You say, oh, well, can I really control how much weight I'm going to lose? Okay, that's just between God and my cell structure, but I do have control over how I'm going to exercise and how I'm going to run and where I'm, do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have any control over how much Verity Baptist Church is going to grow in 2015, but I do have control over how much time I spent out soul winning, knocking doors, inviting people to church, preaching the gospel. Do you understand that? At some point, we got to take responsibility for our actions. At some point, you say, well, I can't control whether my wife's going to leave me. But you can control the things that are causing her to want to leave you. And at some point, we're just going to have to make some goals and decide that we're going to reach those goals. Because I'm telling you, you will spend the next year heart sick. Because hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Some of you ought to have goals for your relationship. Some of you ought to have goals for your health. Some of you, listen to me. You don't know what goals to set? Some of you need to set some spiritual goals. You need to sit down this afternoon and set some spiritual goals. Some of you, you ought to be ashamed you never read your Bible once, ever, cover to cover. Some of you never read the New Testament cover to cover, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't have time to read 9 chapters a day. You ought to take that chart out right now. You ought to take that communication card right now and say, this is a goal. Do you notice 9 chapters a day? It's measurable. It's time sensitive. We give you a way to track it. We give you a goal. Do you understand? These are good goals. You ought to have that goal. Listen to me. If you've never read your Bible cover to cover, 2015, your goal needs to be read your Bible cover to cover. If you never have, you need to do it. If you haven't read the New Testament, you got to do 9 chapters. You got to have a goal for memorizing the Bible. You got to use it. I don't know. I can't memorize. Why don't you memorize the soul winning verses so you can present the gospel from memory? You got to have a goal for prayer. You got to have a goal for soul winning. Some of you have been thinking about going out soul winning. I kind of been playing with the thought about going. You got to have a goal. I'm going to go out soul winning. Some of you go soul winning, but it's hit and miss and it's not very, consistent. You got to have a goal this year. I'm going to go soul winning every week. You got to have a goal. You know, maybe you've been out soul winning. You haven't talked yet. You haven't actually giving the gospel anyway. You ought to have a goal that I'm going to preach the gospel to someone. You ought to have a goal. I'm going to get someone to say. Somebody was sharing with me just a couple of days ago. They have a goal for how many people they'd like to see saved this coming year. Now look, do they save those individuals? No, God does. But here's what they can do. They can be faithful. They can open their mouth. They can knock on the door. They can give people the opportunity and let God do the work. They have a goal for that. You ought to have that goal. Maybe you should have a goal. I challenged our soul winners yesterday. We met here for soul winning. I challenge our soul winners. You got to have a goal. And this year, not only to get somebody saved, but get them baptized. And have a convert sitting next to you that you're mentoring, that you're discipling. That's called the Great Commission. I'm just trying to get, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And some of you just need to get a vision for the things that God can do in your life. So you ought to have a goal for your church attendance. Some of you have been skipping out on church, haven't been real faithful. You need to get yourself connected to a church. There is something about being connected to a community of believers that will revolutionize your spiritual life. You ought to have a goal for that. I don't know what your goals are, but you need to have goals for your life. Otherwise, we'll be sitting here, if you're even here, this time next year, talking about what you could have done in 2015, and it's okay, I know you're sad about it, but 2016 will be better. Get a vision for your life. Go back to Proverbs 13. Let me give you a disclaimer. Or I don't know if it's a disclaimer or just a warning. Proverbs 13, look at verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. If you're going to set goals, let me just warn you, it's going to be hard, and it's going to require hard work. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the Bible says, the soul of the sluggard. That word sluggard, in the Greek, here's what it means, lazy. You ever heard of a slug? Okay? The soul of the sluggard, someone who's lazy. Look, listen to me. The soul of the sluggard. Notice this word, desireth. Do you see that? Do you know that lazy people have goals or wishes? You know that lazy people, I'm gonna get a better job this year, and I'm gonna make more money this year, and I'm gonna fix my problem. I'm gonna do all these things. But listen, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent, you know what the word diligent means? Hard worker, shall be made fat. And the idea there is about being made fat with the things that you want, not necessarily physically. So the Bible says, look, if you're a sluggard, if you're lazy, you're gonna have all sorts. Man, I would love to have this, and I would love to have that. I would like to go over there. And these are all things you'd like to do. Everybody wants things they want to do. But here's the difference between the people that accomplish goals and the people that don't. Some are sluggards, and some are diligent. And it's going to require work. It's going to require work to reach your goals, but you ought to work hard. The Bible says, you know, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, it says, do it with all thy might. So get excited about it. Go back to Proverbs 13, or you're there in Proverbs 13. Look at verse 19. Proverbs 13, look at verse 19. Notice what the Bible says here. The desire. Is that not what we've been talking about, right? Your hopes, your desires. The desire, notice, accomplished is sweet to the soul. Do you see that? You know who's not walking around discouraged? You know who's not walking out depressed? You know who's not walking around upset? You know who's walking around with a sweetness in their soul? It is people who have accomplished their desires. The people that sat, not in this building, because we were in another building last year, one of our goals, to get into a bigger building. But the people that sat in the building last year when I preached my version of this sermon last year, and wrote down goals and said, I'm going to change my life, and said, I'm going to make things different, I'm going to read the 9 chapters today, the people that took that sermon seriously and accomplished those goals, those people aren't discouraged. They're the ones sitting in this room right now saying, man, I'm excited for 9 chapters today again. I'm excited to set new goal and do greater things for God. But you know who's upset today? You know who's discouraged today? You know who's sad today? The people that last year said, that's for other people. And today you're just as broke, you're just as sad, you're just as upset, your marriage is still falling apart, or you're divorced, or whatever it is. And it's because this, when you accomplish goals, it brings sweetness to your soul. But hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Look at verse 19 again. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. So you have to decide. You have a choice. Are you going to go into 2015 upset, discouraged, or are you going to choose to change? Are you going to choose to accomplish your goals? The first step is you got to set goals. You got to decide, what is it that I'm not happy with and why? Now, some things are out of our control, but things that are in your control, you got to decide. I'm going to change those things. Look, you're either going to continue to be discouraged or depressed about your finances because you need to get out of debt or you need to save money or whatever it is. You're going to continue to be discouraged and depressed about your finances, or you're going to decide that I'm going to do something about it in 2015. And you're going to stop being heart sick. You're either going to continue to be discouraged or depressed about your career because you need a job, or you need a better job, or you need to make more money, or you need to get some education or learn some skills so you can go into a different career. You can either keep whining about those things and being upset about those things, or in 2015 you can say, hey, you know what, I need a different career. This isn't working out. So I'm going to have to go get some training. I'm going to do it. Here's when I'm going to do it. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to set that goal. I'm going to accomplish that goal, and I'm going to go do something. And then this time next year, you'll have sweetness in your soul because you accomplished your task. Look, you're either going to continue to be discouraged or depressed about your relationships, marriage problems, raising children, not enough family time, too much stress, whatever it is, or you're going to decide this year I'm going to do something about that. You're either going to continue to be discouraged, depressed about your health because you need to lose weight or exercise more or whatever it is, eat healthier. And you know what it is, and you know what we're all struggling with. You can continue to be depressed and just struggle with that year after year after year after year, or you can decide today that I'm going to do something about that starting right now. You can be depressed or discouraged next year. Some of you are, you know, you may be dealing with illegal drugs or prescription drugs, alcohol, pornography. Look, whatever it is, you may be dealing with it and you may be struggling with it year after year after year. And you can decide right now, it's done. And it's not this. I'm gonna kick my alcohol problem. This year. What are you gonna do? Well, the same thing I've been doing. Look, if you've been doing the same thing and it hasn't worked, you need to do something different. You need stricter rules, accountability, whatever. I don't know what it is. You need to decide what you need and you need to do it. Because here's the thing: hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And before you go to the therapist, and before you go to the counselor, and before they give you the prescription drugs, and before they do all those things, why don't you just try identifying the things that are making you upset, identifying the things that you know you're not fulfilling in your life, and why don't you set some effective goals in your life to take care of those things so that you can have sweetness in your soul by achieving desires. That's my challenge for you as we end the year and begin a new year. Let's pray.